come and receive and be made free with us today. Come and restore your heart and soul with us today. Hunger for the precious bread of life. Come all who thirst, drink of the living water. Come to God's life and be revived with us today. Come be transformed by the Lord of Lords with us today. Come worship with us as we lift the Savior up. Here at God's life, experience life in Christ. Experience life in Christ at God's life.
Do what we're going to be talking about today, and that is doubting God's word and doubting God's consequences of God's judgment whenever he speaks his word and his judgment. So I thank God today that regardless of the circumstance of what you can feel or see, God's word will always be true in the lives of those, amen, who will trust him and put their faith in him. The Bible says, he who come to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. So then what this basically says to us is that regardless of what is going on, don't let the devil do what he did to Eve and get you to doubt God's word. And most of all, the most dangerous thing is don't let him ever get you to doubt the consequences of disobeying God's word. And that's where he works, and this is where he worked not only on the Christian, but he also works this way on the sinner as well. And so today we want to look at holy living, believe that God is. Holy living, believe that God is. And what I mean is that we are going to be living a life that actively resists resists the word of Satan and resists doubt. So we want to be living a life that actively is resisting doubt. So my reference text is, we're going to have three we want to look at briefly. The first one is Hebrews the 11th chapter, verse 11, and I'm going to read verse 6. Hallelujah. But there's much more to that to read. But for the emphasis of this message, holy living, believe that God is, Hebrews the 11th chapter, the 6th verse, it reads, But without faith, it is impossible to please him. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. First of all, it says, but without faith. In other words, if you have a doubt, you don't have faith. But it says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And we're going to look at some things to show just how far off we can be from pleasing God. Hallelujah. We want to look at how far we can be off from doubt, from believing God. So again, my message title is what? Holy living, believe that God is. And I want to read that reference text again. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Another verse of scripture that I want to use, amen, is James, the first chapter of James. And I want to begin reading at about the 5th verse. Hallelujah. And it reads, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to men liberally and unbridled not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that is wavered is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Amen. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is stable in all of his ways. And a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Hallelujah. And so this is what we're talking about today. Amen. Holy living, believe that God is. And in order for us to believe that God is, we've got to deal with the enemy of faith, and that is doubt. Amen. So let's look at the definition of doubt. This is what I kind of came up with. I haven't been able to find a biblical definition, but I believe, amen, glory to God, that doubt is to like, amen, assurance, have a lack of assurance, or confidence in what you read or hear. In other words, we can read God's words, but we don't have an assurance or confidence in what we read, amen, or what we hear. Meaning that a person considers it to be unlikely or not possible. Hallelujah. Doubt is the direct opposite of faith. Doubt is actually and actively an enemy of faith. Doubt is the most common and effective tool that Satan used against the Christian, amen, to cause them to question the truth of God's word. Because most Christians will be encouraged in some wise or another to doubt God, it doesn't mean that it's an acceptable response to God. So Satan even employed doubt to get Christians sometime, and I know that you've done it or you've known other people to do it, to question their salvation. If the devil can get us to question our salvation or to question anything that God is doing in our life, if he can get that to happen, once he get that to happen, because this is the very foundation of our relationship with God, then he can easily get us to doubt God's word. See, if he can get you and I to question whether or not we are truly born again, or whether or not God is using us for a particular area, a particular calling, amen, then what happens is he knows that the foundation of our relationship with him hinges on us believing that he is. So if you and I can be deceived by the devil to ever question God, there's nothing wrong with questioning God in his word, but how do we question it? Do we question it in the sense of, Lord, what do you want me to do when you want me to do it? Or do we question it in the sense of, well, I don't know if that's really what you want, Lord. I need you to know God is not the author of confusion. So he do not want us in doubt about what he's doing in our lives at any time. Amen. And I can, you know, witness that. I can bear witness. There's times where I knew God wanted me to do something, but because of whatever, because of different things, or different thoughts that I had, or different views that I had, I realize now that the devil was using doubt. Doubt is an umbrella over a whole lot of areas in our life. If there's anything about you or me in our thinking, in our belief that doubts God in any wise, amen, you can know that that is under the umbrella of doubt. Amen. So then, Satan even employed doubt in our life when we think we are doing the will of God. Satan will come and say, as he did with Eve, is that what God actually told you to do? And so this is what he does. So if he's able to get us to lack confidence in God's word, he will also cause us to not to take God's judgment or his consequences seriously. And so God shows us exactly, this is my word, this is my judgment, this is the consequences if you disobey it. Now, and we go back, the first incident that I've seen in the Bible was in Genesis, the third chapter. And this is when the devil came to Eve. And basically what he did was he asked Eve, did God say that you could eat of the fruit? And she said, of the trees. Now check out what he's doing now. And she said, yes, we can eat of all the fruit of the trees except for that one in the midst of the garden. And he was like, so why can't you eat of this tree? And, you know, I'm just paraphrasing. And she said, because the consequences was if we ate of it, we would surely die. And what did he say? He come with a stronger doubt. He says, you're not going to die. Amen. So right there, you can see both of them together. You can see doubt of God's word. And then you can see, amen, the doubt of the consequence of God's word in that one example. So just think about your own life. What is God saying to you? And the devil is also trying to say, I don't know. And he get us to say, I don't know. Hallelujah. So as we can see in Genesis with Eve, the devil is using the same tactic today. He's using the same tactic today, and he's using it with, amen, very effectiveness. One of the biggest things that attack the church today is people do not have full confidence in God's word. They don't have full assurance in God's word. And so because they don't have confidence in God's word, we can live as if there is no consequences. Because if I can take away the word of God, I can also do away with the consequences. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so this is what Satan does. He works in our life to get us to doubt God's word, because he knows if you and I doubt God's word, he knows that we are also going to doubt the consequences of God's word. Now, how many of you knew what God's word was in a circumstance, a situation in your life, and because you kind of gotten some doubt about whether or not that's what it was saying, you also doubted whether or not the consequences of it? The Bible says, because, amen, God doesn't execute or bring his consequences on us right away for us obeying the word, we begin to start believing that he's not going to. And when we believe that he's not going to, then Satan has successfully gotten us to the place that he wants. And from there, it's downhill for us. It's downhill. So how many of you today, just think about it for a minute. You know what God's word is, but you doubt. There's doubt in there somewhere. And so once doubt comes in the picture, how many of you, let me give an example of doubt. Now, I'm going to touch an area where everybody that say that they're Christian and do something. Everybody eat, right? Amen. Let me show you how good doubt is, how doubt works, and how faith need to work. Everybody eat. And some people, especially those who say that they're Christians, they say grace. And we usually say grace for two reasons. We are saying grace for God, for thanking God for the provisions, and we're saying grace for God to bless what it is that we are about to eat, right? How many people thank God for the provisions, for giving it to them, but they don't believe God can remove impurities? Let me just give you an example. I was sharing this in a Bible study a couple weeks ago. I said, how many of you believe that everything you eat can be organic? Everything you eat can be organic. Now see, this is going to work with your faith or your doubt. One of the two is going to work. I believe that everything that I eat can be organic. I don't care if a bag of potato chips. Do I have your attention yet? Okay, first of all, let me give you the definition of organic. Organic means that impurities, the food is grown in such a way that there is no chemicals or impurities in the food, right? So therefore, whenever you go in the store and you see organic, you have a faith that this food is good for you, right? Okay. Now we say grace. And we thank God for the food. And what is the other part of your grace? Lord, I thank you for this being nourishment to my body. I thank you for removing all impurities. So as far as I'm concerned, whenever I made that prayer, whatever I'm about to eat, it's organic. I was in a store. This is how I came up with this. And there's a guy and his wife was looking around. They said, we're trying to find the organic stuff. We're trying to find the good stuff. And I said to him, I said, brother, if you say grace, it's organic. He said, oh, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. He said, you know, I never thought about that, but that is true. If I ask God to remove all impurities, that food should be like the food that's labeled again. Is that not right? But how many of us believe that? How many of us believe that? Doubt will cause you to sit there before that food, thank God for it, and at the same time, believe God can give you something that's not good. We say remove all impurities, but we don't believe that. How many of you believe that every time you eat and you ask God to remove all impurities, you can eat that food knowing that there is no impurities? How many times people have said grace over food and then turn around and say they got food poison? That ain't the God that I'm serving. Hallelujah. I'm not going to thank God for something that's going to hurt me, because I believe when we believe that God is, when we believe, amen, that he has blessed us with something, we also have to believe that, amen, that he has blessed us with will not hurt us. Amen. The blessings of the Lord make it rich and do what? Add it no sorrow. But how often do we doubt what it is that we're about to eat? Even though we said grace over it, but somehow or another, Satan can get us to believe that you're going to thank God for the provision. So God gave you these provisions. Yes. And then he's going to say, but these provisions is not good. So he's getting us to think that God has given us provisions that's not good for us. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, a lot of people who've heard this, you never heard me say this, they are like, you know, I got to do some more studying. So this is what I'm trying to do with this. I need you to look at something as simple as the food that you eat. And we eat food every day, and we say grace over it every day, but do we truly believe that what we eat is good for us? How many times would you say, well, I know I don't have no business eating this. I know I said, you know, I know it's not good for me. You know what I'm saying? But if I say grace over it, I also have to believe that even though according to the research and the standards of man, that it's not good for me, but I also have to believe my prayers. If I believe God to remove all impurities, whatever's in there that's supposed to harm me, I'm supposed to believe by faith, amen, that he addressed it. Are you with me? Now, some of you say, well, you know, you're really taking it out there. No, this is a simple, simple sign of how the devil can cause us to believe God on one instance and doubt on the other instance in the same prayer. In the same prayer. And most people, they always looking at something, and you know, everybody look at the expiration date. Well, you know, I'm like this here. I think about the people on the street, you know, we deal with homeless people. We try to help them out. And sometimes I talk with them and try to find out how you get in this situation and, you know, what is going on. And a lot of times some of them say, well, I got a choice between paying rent, amen, and not having a car, or having a car so I can get to work and not pay rent. So I'll just sleep in my car. So, you know, I remember this family, you know, that I would help, you know, just stop in and check on them and whatnot like that. And, you know, I was talking to them about food expiring one time, and I was saying, so what do you do when you you get food and the expiration date is passed? They said, you know what? We pray and we eat it, and it's never hurt us. Hallelujah. And so then I look at drug addicts. They eat anything. They eat everything. They drink after each other. They smoke cigarettes after each other. Don't care what all of them disease got. They can sit there together and drink out the same cup. Yes. Tell me that's not faith. Are you understand what I'm saying? When I was a sinner, I did the same thing. I could be drinking something and I could hand it to the next person. They drink it and somebody else, and they come to me and I drink it. So what I'm basically saying is, what happened to that faith that we had, the belief that whatever we were doing was not going to hurt us? Amen. And so now that we are Christians, we need to know that the devil is working overtime to get you to question God in the areas where you and I already know that God is. Hallelujah. Amen. So now, think about this the next time you say grace. Either you're going to just thank God for the provisions and not ask him to bless it and remove all impurities. But if you ask him to remove all impurities, then what? What do we do then? Do we eat it believing what? That the impurities has been removed. Hallelujah. Now, I know some of you may say, well, you know, you're kind of pushing it out there, you know, trying to make everything organic. You know, I don't understand that. I don't totally agree with you, but you're entitled to do that. You're entitled to disagree with me. Amen. But I'm not going to disagree with God's ability. I'm not going to disagree with God being able to bless me. I mean, I haven't taken medication since 1976, not even an aspirin. I believe when I eat, I believe that whatever I'm eating is supposed to help me. I'm believing it's supposed to help me. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, if you don't believe that, then you know what? If the devil can get something as simple as that and get you to doubt, how much more can he get you and I to doubt the word of God in general? So therefore, we have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, we don't allow God to do what he does best. Amen? So just allow God to do what he do. Amen. And you gotta have faith. My neighbors, amen, their house just caught fire last Sunday, and it was so interesting, not funny, but you know, it was a testimony because Alicia was out there with the wife. And she said, tell your dad to do what he do. Tell Bishop to do what he do. And Alicia looked at it and said, tell him to do what he do. Amen? Hallelujah. And what she was saying is, tell him to pray. Because we know what will happen. The first incident, they're Jewish. So the first incident, the husband was having heart problems. And the ambulance came. And so they had him in the ambulance. And they was out in front of the house. And so I was in the yard and I'm like, what's going on? So I ran over and I asked her, I said, what is happening? She says, they're about to take my husband to the hospital because he's having heart problems. I said, can I pray? And she said, yeah. I said, but wait a minute. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to pray for. I'm going to pray that he only pull a muscle. Can you believe that? She said, well, I don't know because it's kind of severe. I said, can we believe that? Can you believe that with me? She said, well, if you believe, then just pray. So about a half hour later, the lady come out of the ambulance with the computer. And she said, well, we ran all the tests and whatnot. And he's not going to the hospital because we think that he pulled a muscle. And her mouth dropped. Her mouth dropped. And so then they had another situation about a month, 2 months ago. He said, listen, we own a house in San Francisco and we're trying to sell it. And San Francisco got all of these rules where you can't sell a house, you can't evict a tenant unless you're going to stay in the house a year before you sell it. And he says, our issue is we need to sell this house. And I said, what's the name of the tenant? He told me the name of the tenant. I said, they're going to move out. And so he said, what? So he came back about a week and a half later. He said, they're moving out. He said, we've been trying to get this person out for over a year. They are moving out. Yes, hallelujah. So now, when I said that, you have to know that I had to say it by what? Faith. And no doubt. Are you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we will pray with some people and we'll say, well, you can believe God, but we are not totally believing God. Amen? And so now you got your house on fire, you're losing everything, and what do you say? Tell him to pray. Amen. Be a person in your community. Be a person in your family. Be a person in your sphere of influence that people know that you believe that God is. Be a person that shows that you believe that God is. Now, I need you to know sometime, whenever I pray with people, I don't always see what God is doing, but I trust God. We had a family that came, and they all had broken out. They had, even down to the baby, the two little children, they all was just all broke out, sores all over their body and breaking out. And so they came to church to get prayer. And so when they came after church, you know, they said that they wanted prayer. And I said, I'm not going to pray. I said, I'm not going to pray right now. I said, I'm not going to pray until I fast and see what God is saying. And then I will pray. You know, some of us, we just, you know what I'm saying? So that Monday, this was Sunday, that Monday, they called and said, well, have the Lord said anything? I said, yes. I said, he is going to remove those things and you shall see not many days hence. I get a call the next day, said, things are clearing up. When they came to church that next Sunday, you couldn't even tell they had a problem. Hallelujah. What I'm saying is, as long as we come to God believing that he is, every time we pray, we must believe that God is. And when I say believe that he is, I believe that prayer should always be based on the word of God. Amen. The Bible says, those that be sick among you, let them come to the elders of the church and have them pray. Amen. And so we had another incident. So another brother was fasting with me during that time, because I said, anybody who want to fast, fast with me. And he had a friend whose wife had a stroke. Amen. And he called me up and he said, I got a friend whose wife had a stroke, and I was fasting. And I believe the Lord also told me to believe that all residuals of that stroke can go away. And sure enough, the next day, all residuals of that stroke wasn't there. Hallelujah. So when we come to God, we must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of what? Them that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. Now this same brother, when I got in the accident a couple years ago, he also got that Sunday, after that Friday, he got an accident on his motorcycle. And he was all messed up. And so he found out that I was going to be in service that Sunday. And so they said he came to church and he said, If pastor can make it to church, then I can get myself together and go. He was in pain, all busted up and whatnot. But what I'm basically saying is, the faith that I showed transferred to him. Are you understand what I'm saying? And he came, and he was like, so when I got back, I said, I heard that you all got all messed up. I see you all messed up. I see you in a sling and everything else. And he was like, but no. I saw the pictures of the accident. If you can believe God to walk out of that accident and be in church on Sunday, he said, you know what? I was in pain and I went to the hospital and I told them, I said, listen, I'm going to be in church Sunday. Hallelujah. What I'm saying is, holy living, believe that God is. The first thing, or the biggest weapon that Satan has, is doubt. If he can get you and I to doubt God, then it's going to be hard for us to have a testimony, amen, about who God is. Amen? And then if he can get us to doubt God's word, then we are going to doubt everything about God, no matter how we look at it, no matter what we say, how we say it, we are going to doubt God's word. However, there is a flip side to doubt, and that is faith. Amen? So let's look at the contrast between the two of them. At the heart of our looking at faith and doubt, the contrast between faith and doubt is this. Doubt is defined, as I said earlier, as a lack of assurance or confidence. Amen. And it stands directly opposite of faith. It is that whisper of the enemy in our ear, prompting us to question God's word. Amen. Prompting us to question God's goodness. Prompting us to even question our salvation. So Satan has cleverly employed doubt since the beginning of time. And I was sharing with you about even going back in the book of Genesis. He tempted Eve by saying, did God actually say that? And so through this tactic, he began to sow confusion. He began to get us a little confused. And what he did with Eve, he made her question God's commandment. And ultimately, he got her to question God's character. He got her to question God's consequences of judgment. So whenever she affirmed or said God command, you know what he did? He turned around and said, and he counteracted it with a denial. You will not surely die. And so a lot of us, amen, we fall short or fall for that same thing whenever we're trying to stand on God's word and we know what the consequences of the judgment are, and we say it to somebody, and then they come back just like the devil. I don't think God will do that. God is a loving God. You know, if you don't do this or do that, I don't think God is going to punish you. I don't think God is going to do this. But see, the worst person that we can listen to is ourselves. When we begin to tell ourselves, well, God is a loving God. He's not going to do this if I do this. If I forget him, he's not going to forget me. Amen. The Bible says God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sow, that shall he also reap. Amen. So at some point in our life, we're going to have to make it up in our mind that I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what. Amen. Hallelujah. So then the strategy of doubt is no less effective today. Many Christians, they struggle with doubt about their faith. They struggle with doubt about their worthiness. Amen. They struggle with God's assurance. We might say grace over our food, believing that God and God's ability to bless and purify it, yet still have doubt about his capabilities to enact his word in our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. So then I need you to know the Bible tells us, amen, that God is a very present help in the time of trouble. So no matter what you're going through, believe God. Hallelujah. Believe God. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us to count it all joy when we encounter a diverse temptations. Amen. And instead of us doubting that God is with us, believe that God is with us. Hallelujah. Instead of yielding to doubt, let us lean into our faith. Amen. The Bible instructs us to ask God for wisdom, as I shared earlier, and he will give us wisdom as to what we are to do. He will show us what we are to do. So imagine for a moment standing in the midst of a storm, amen, tossed like a wave of the sea, and this is the reality of a life led by doubt when every gust of wind leaves us shaken or uncertain. So every little thing that come our way, we begin to question whether or not God is with us. We begin to question who God is. We begin to question why he allowed these. How many times have you said, and I know I've said, when things come, Lord, why did you allow it? Now, there's two ways to ask that question. One is we ask him, why did he allow it? Because we don't think it's fair. And then two, we ask him, why did he allow it? Because we are trying to see what it is that we need to adjust. I was showing people how the Bible says that God's mercies are new every morning. And a lot of people are excited about that. Yeah, God's mercies are new every morning. But I asked the Lord, Lord, exactly why do I need mercy every morning? You ever thought about that? You ever thought about why do we need mercy every morning? Well, this is what I've come to find out. There's something about my life that God is not pleased with. And so he says to me, Calvin, because you are still doing this and I'm not pleased with it, I'm going to show you my mercy. I need you to understand the reason why God shows us his mercy is to give us an opportunity to correct an area of our life or areas of our life that he is not pleased with. Are you understand what I'm saying? And so we need to understand that it's exciting to know that God gives us mercy, but we also need to understand also why is he giving us mercy? It must mean that there's something that God see in my life that he's showing me mercy to give me time to correct it or get it in order. Amen. So then don't just take lightly that God show us mercy, that God show us mercy. We need to begin to say, Lord, why? Why are you showing me mercy? And so this is the key to us resisting doubt, is that believe that whatever God is doing in our life, it is going to work together for our good and for his glory. Amen. Hallelujah. So then the opposite side of doubt is faith. So faith, amen, is the act when we are standing on firm ground, and we're standing on this ground, amen, glory to God, believing that God is. Amen. You know, early in my Christian walk, I remember in prayer, the Lord said, nothing shall shake your faith. And I didn't totally understand it because I'm a new Christian and whatnot like that. But as adversities and trials and tests came, I began to apply that word, this shall not shake my faith. This shall not shake my faith. This shall not shake my faith. And as I begin to apply it, I realize that nothing has the ability to shake our faith. It's just like joy. Jesus said, let no man steal your joy. The same thing with faith is you have to make a decision whether or not you're going to believe God or you're not going to believe God. That is totally up to us. That is, nobody else can have faith for us. We have to have faith for ourselves. Like when people ask me to pray, you know, I usually say, I'll pray with you. You should already be praying about your situation. I'm just going to join you in prayer. Amen? And that family that I was telling you about, they was diligently in prayer. They had to search the scripture. They was diligently in prayer before they came to get prayer. So all we did was when I did pray, I just joined my prayer with theirs. Are you understand what I'm saying? And so we got to come to God believing that he is. And the Bible says that he is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. Now, when I looked up the word diligent, for me, it says to me, Calvin, if you don't believe God, don't pray. Are you understand what I'm saying? And also, you need to find out how God wants you to pray in this. So diligently, to me, is Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I need to know, Lord, what and how do you want me to pray in this situation? Because I know you watches over your word to perform it. So then once we find out how God wants us to pray, then we begin to pray as such. And we're gonna believe because we know that, Lord, this is what you said. Hallelujah. This is what you said to do this. Amen. And so what we want to do is in our holy living, in order to live holy, in order for you and I to live holy, the Bible says, be ye holy for I am holy. Now, so many people do not even pursue a holy life because they doubt their ability to live holy. How many of you know that you can live holy? I mean, you know that you know that you know that you know that you can live holy. Now, this is what the devil does. In 1 Peter, amen, it tells us, be ye holy for I am holy. Hallelujah. It says, as he which has called you is holy. I'm reading from 1 Peter verse 15. It says, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy for I am holy. Now, so many people in the body of Christ do not believe that. They do not believe that they have the ability to be holy. Amen. Well, let me just reiterate something to you. First of all, if God is, and God asks, and God commands us to be holy, then he will not, in my eye, be God of my life unless I already know that he's done something for me to fulfill this command. I don't believe that God will ever ask us to do anything that he didn't already give us the ability to do. Now, that's the first thing about the commandments of God. If you don't believe that God has already equipped you to obey him, you are going to have a hard time obeying him. So now, when he says, be ye holy, for I am holy, he's basically saying, when you were born again, I put holy in you. I put holy in you and made you holy. I made you holy. On the day of your salvation, God made us holy. However, what he is saying is be holy. He says, now I want you to live the life that I've already made. And now I want you to walk in what I've already made. Now I want you to believe what I've already done. I'm not asking you to figure out how to be holy. I've taken care of that part. Only thing I ask you to do is to live out what my spirit in you show you how to live. So this is the key here. It is not, how can I put it? I was going to say it's not easy, but it is. It is not natural for the human mind and intellect to agree with Holy Spirit. It is just not natural because that's not the way that our makeup is. Holy Spirit will tell us to do things that, you know, in some cases, they just don't fly with our thinking. They just don't go along with our thinking. They don't go along with how we view things. Amen? And so I'm speaking from personal experience. I'm not just, you know, just talking about nobody. I'm speaking from myself. There are things where God has said to do, and I know it was Holy Spirit, and it just didn't work for me. When I say it didn't work for me, I had challenges obeying God. I eventually did, but I need to know when it first came, I had to go through a process of casting out every thought and every imagination that exalted itself against the knowledge of truth. I had to cast out anything that would cause me to doubt God. Amen. So I had to make a decision. Am I going to believe God? I'm not going to believe God. So I had to go back to when the Lord challenged me. He said, son, I will be Lord over all of your life, or I will not be Lord at all in your life. And that kind of spooked me a little bit. It kind of, when from a spiritual point of view, it kind of like, okay, if I'm going to do this Christian thing, I got to be all the way in, or I got to be all the way out. I can't do it sometime, and sometime I don't, sometime I do it, sometime I don't want to do it. And I need you to know that I think what challenged me when in the Bible where they came to Jesus and he didn't let them into heaven. He said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. He said, I don't know you. He said, I don't know you. I know you might have been in church, you might have did this, you might have done that, and you might have did the other. But then whenever I began to do this teaching on the holiness of God and holy living, God says, son, only holy people is in my heaven. He said, a lot of people have put people in heaven that I didn't. He said, only the holy people is here. He said, I am holy. No flesh will glory in my sight. He said, start telling the people to start living holy now if they intend to come to my heaven.